1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man." It is my prayer that we never grow slack in carrying out the Lord's work here in this place. Yeah, I know that sometimes we get burnt out and we fall by the wayside, but it's still my prayer that we would stay strong and continue to do the work that He's called us to do. We need to be patient with the unbelievers in the world and pray for their salvation. Jesus said to bless your enemies and do good to those who curse you and despitefully use you. You never know, the very person that's against you today can be with you as your brother and sister tomorrow.
Welcome to the Calhoun Baptist Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. In this episode, join us as we explore the transformative sermon titled, "Come Follow Me" by Pastor Mark Abney. Based on Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 33, Pastor Mark delves into the call to follow Jesus and the profound impact it has on our lives. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and encouraged as Pastor Mark passionately shares the importance of discipleship and what it truly means to respond to Jesus' call. Whether you're a longtime believer or seeking answers, this episode offers spiritual insights that will enrich your faith journey. Tune in as we unpack the powerful message of "Come Follow Me" and discover the life-changing truths it holds. Don't miss this opportunity to deepen your understanding of discipleship and grow closer to the heart of Jesus. And now, Brother Mark.
In Mark's Gospel, continuing on, finishing chapter 3 this Sunday, starting in verse 13. Mark 3, verse 13, would you stand as we read out of the Word of God? "And he went up into the mountain, and he called to them those who he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons." He appointed the 12. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James the son of Zebedee, John the brother of James, who he gave the name Boanerges, that is, the sons of thunder, Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And he went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out and seized him, for they were saying, "He's out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons he cast out demons." And he called them out, and he said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, 'He has an unclean spirit.' And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent him and called him, and a crowd was sitting around him. And they said to him, 'Your mother and brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and brothers?' And looking about at those sitting around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother.'" Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that takes your word and imparts it to our heart, that does the work of conviction, that draws people unto you. And Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to follow the Holy Spirit, to hear him, and as you call us through him. Lord, I just pray that we would do what you call us to do, that we would be your people, and that you would be our God, and that we would just work with you, because through you all things are possible. And Lord, you are always at work all around us. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would join you where you're at work and do the work that you called us to do, that we might see you high and lifted up and glorified, and that people would be changed, their lives would be changed for your glory, and that we would see that all around us, in order that that would spill out into this community and into our families and our homes and into the workplace and all around us, Lord, that people might be changed because of who you are. And Lord, we'll just give you all the praise and glory for everything you're about to do. Thank you for again for your word and how it changes us. In Jesus' name I pray, and the church says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus called his 12 disciples to follow him. And each of them had a divine appointment by God and a plan for their lives that was beyond what they could ever imagine. Even Judas, who was an unbeliever, had a divine plan to betray Jesus and hand him over to the authorities. In the Old Testament, God spoke through various ways. He called Moses through a burning bush. He called Gideon by an angel. He spoke to Balaam through a donkey. In the New Testament, God spoke through Jesus Christ, and we know that truth from the very first chapter of Mark, which we studied, when Jesus said he came to preach the good news and that the kingdom of God was at hand. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. After Jesus ascended into heaven, God has and continues to speak through his Holy Spirit. And he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit in our heart and uses our circumstances, other believers, and his word and prayer to confirm his will and to move us along in his plan. Even today, God is calling people to follow him through the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who speaks to our spirit and calls us out of darkness into light to follow Jesus Christ and accept his free gift of salvation through God's grace. It is the Holy Spirit that first brought about conviction in our hearts of our sin. And when we realize that we were sinners and our sin separated us from God, we have the opportunity to ask God to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we would be called a child of God, and he would place his Holy Spirit in us. Does God call some people to be his children and other people never get the opportunity? Absolutely not. 2 Peter 3:9, which I say a lot, and I say it a lot because I want everybody to know that God is not slack concerning his promise. What is his promise? That if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. That's his promise. So if you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So God is not slack concerning that promise, as some count slackness, but is patient with everybody. He does not wish that any would die and go to hell, but that every person would be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. In Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in John 3:16, which we all know, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So who are the whosoever's? Every person that's ever been born is a whosoever. God does not want anybody to die in their sins and be condemned to hell forever. So he sent Jesus to call you out of darkness into light. Notice after he called the disciples, he appointed them. Jesus appointed them to do the will of God by healing the sick and casting out demons, as it said in our text. And he sent them to share the gospel and tell the world that there is hope through Jesus Christ. Notice also that after he called you and you accepted him as Lord and Savior and you believed that God raised him from the dead, you were appointed also to heal the sick and cast out demons and share the gospel and disciple the saints. We are called and we are appointed, just like the disciples. We here at Calhoun have been hoping and praying that God would call more people to himself and appoint them to help carry on the ministry he has commissioned us to do right here in this community and through this very body of believers. Those who know the Lord can do the work that God has called us to do because He has placed His Holy Spirit in us, which empowers us to do the things that God has called us to do. He gives us strength through the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit takes over, you and I can do the impossible. Here in our text, we see that Jesus' family came to rescue Him and snatch Him away from the crowd where He was ministering without eating or sleeping. Our human nature does not readily understand that kind of zeal in religion. And if you are obsessed with work or money or science or war or freedom or politics, you're good. But as soon as you become obsessed with doing the will of God, you become a religious fanatic. You're labeled. You're acting like a fool, most people say. And if you neglect your health by doing excessive study or working too much, you are diligent and industrious. But if you wear yourself out preaching, you're just a religious fanatic. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man." It is my prayer that we never grow slack in carrying out the Lord's work here in this place. Yeah, I know that sometimes we get burnt out and we fall by the wayside, but it's still my prayer that we would stay strong and continue to do the work that He's called us to do. We need to be patient with the unbelievers and the world and pray for their salvation. Jesus said to bless your enemies and do good to those who curse you and despitefully use you. You never know, the very person that's against you today can be with you as your brother and sister tomorrow. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "Jesus is possessed by Satan, by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons He cast out demons." And He called them out in parables, and He said, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom will fall. And if a house is divided against itself, that house too will fall. And if Satan rises up against himself and is divided, he will not be able to stand. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he may come and plunder the house." First, his family said that he had lost his mind because he was ministering without eating and sleeping. And so they went and snatched him away from the crowd to give him nourishment. And here the scribes from Jerusalem say that he's working for Satan. Jesus explains clearly that if evil fights against evil, it will die. And if Satan fights against Satan, he's done. And if you have an army and you go into battle and they begin to fight amongst themselves, you're probably going to lose that war. They will enter and die by the friendly fire or by the enemy fire. You're getting it from both sides. You're probably not going to make it. And Jesus speaks of the only unforgivable sin when he says, "Truly I say to you that all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of the eternal sin. For they were saying he has an unclean spirit." Jesus explains how the scribes claim that he cast out demons with Satan's authority as stupid. And he goes on to explain how those claims are also blasphemy. Despite the seriousness of the sin of blasphemy, God says it can be forgiven. In this very important verse, Jesus, who died for our sins, was raised again and says clearly that all sins save one shall be forgiven, Mark 3:29. And the one sin that cannot be forgiven, it's not a sexual sin. It's not a sin of bad thoughts. It's not a sin of struggling with addictions. It's not the sin of even murder. And it's not the sin of any Ten Commandments, but it's a sin of unbelief or you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Forgiven comes from the Greek word aphemia, which also means to send away or disregard. When we ask Jesus into our heart to be Lord of our life, our sins, all of them are sent away, and they no longer condemn us, as the record has been expunged by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. God no longer holds our sins against us. Blasphemy comes from the Greek word blasphemia, which refers to speech that is disrespectful or defiant towards God. Ultimately, it means to intentionally misrepresent God's character. When Jesus infers that he is the Son of God, the Pharisees and scribes said that is blasphemy. In the Mosaic Law, blasphemy against God was punishable by death, Leviticus 24:10-16. The word Matthew uses in his gospel is slightly different. Instead of saying all sins will be forgiven the children of man, it reads, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. And both statements are true, Matthew 12:32. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, truth is, there is only one sin that God never forgives. That's the sin of unbelief. If you say that the Holy Spirit is not of God and that he don't exist, or that God's Spirit is evil, or you don't listen or pay attention to the conviction or the call of God that comes to you through the Holy Spirit about your salvation, you have committed the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. By that I mean a person refuses to accept the free gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness by God through Jesus Christ. And if you do not listen to the Holy Spirit and you die in your sins, if you are not washed clean, if you are not justified by the blood of Jesus, then you're done. You'll spend eternity in hell. And Jesus plainly showed that he had the power to defeat Satan by casting out demons of all people who were possessed that come to him. And these people would be free of all evil, of all demonic power over them. They would be in their right mind, proving that it was a miracle of God. And here they claim that the Holy Spirit, which descended like a dove upon Jesus, was of Satan. And that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. To believe in God, we must believe in the Trinity. We must believe that God is, first of all. We must believe that Jesus is God's Son, secondly. And we must believe that the Holy Spirit is of God. Even Satan knew this to be true, as those evil spirits that cried out to Jesus Christ recognized him as the Son of God, and that he had the power of the Holy Spirit to cast them out. And so they cried out, please don't cast us out. Please, what are you going to do with us, as they come before him? The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit only come from an evil heart of unconverted people doing Satan's work, where sinners are brought to repentance and newness of life. And we see evil all around us attacking the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit moves in our midst and tries to convict people to come to Christ. And evil tries to tell them they don't need to, they can wait, you got plenty of time. And so we never know. Our life is but a vapor. We don't know what tomorrow holds. His mothers and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him, and the crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered to them, who are my mother and brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here is my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus considers all believers as his family. And it's more important to be a member of the family of God than it is to be a member of your own earthly family. It is comforting to know that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are called his brothers and his sisters and his mothers and his children, his relatives, in a spiritual way, because that means we are children of the kingdom of God. In conclusion, even today, Jesus says, "Come follow me." And God is still calling people to follow him through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks to our spirit and calls us out of darkness into light. To follow Jesus Christ, to accept his free gift of salvation through God's grace. Not only are we called to follow Jesus and become a believer, but we're called to join a local body of believers called the church and proclaim the gospel and help in the ministry of discipleship. It's okay to be on fire for Jesus. Amen. It's okay to be a Jesus freak. That's right. If you're overzealous to share the good news, if you're overbearing to love other people, if you're not just at church when the doors are open, but you're the one opening the doors, it is of God, and that's a godly thing. You're not a religious fanatic, but you're fanatically trying to share the gospel with other people and disciple the church. If you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, I pray that you respond to his voice. I pray that you put your faith in Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to live in you. Never call the Holy Spirit evil or disregard the voice of the Spirit as he speaks to you. Always respond positively to the Holy Spirit. For those who never respond to his voice, there will come a time when he may no longer speak to you and may no longer seek you out and call out your sin and convict you of it. And there may be a time where you no longer want to hear from the Holy Spirit or talk to God. And if so, you may die and go to hell and live there eternally. In hell, fire, and damnation. And that's a terrible thing. So that's why I'm saying it's so important that as you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, that you respond to that voice. Because God is calling you, and he's still calling today. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you become a child of the King. And Jesus loves you more than he loved his own earthly family. He wants to call everybody to follow him, and he wants to call everybody his family. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by his blood. I'm joint heirs with Jesus as I travel this side, for I'm part of the family of God. I pray this morning that you are part of the family of God. Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, this morning maybe someone has heard for the very first time the Holy Spirit calling out to them. Maybe for the very first time they want to respond to the Holy Spirit, but they don't know how. And so you can pray this prayer and the Holy Spirit will come and live inside you. You say, "God, I believe that I'm a sinner. And I have sin in my heart, and I believe that you sent Jesus, your only Son, to die for me and my sins. I want you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins, and I repent of them. And I want to follow you the rest of my days. I believe that God raised you from the dead, and that you're alive, and that you're making intercession for me right now as I pray to you. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for placing your spirit inside of me. And I thank you for calling me your family." And if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, the Holy Spirit has come into your heart, and you are now a child of God. And you will spend eternity in heaven forever with him. And with all people who have made that same commitment to follow Christ. As a church member and a believer, maybe we've become tired in doing the ministry. But I pray that you would stand strong. I pray that you would lean upon the Holy Spirit who is in you and allow Him to strengthen you, to gird you up, and to make you stand where you have been falling. I pray that you would have a renewed spirit in you and a zeal to do the work that He's called us to do in this place. Lord, I thank you for each person that's here this morning. And your house is fuller than I've seen it in a while, and it thrills my heart. And I know it thrills yours. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, I pray that as they leave this place, that their blessings would follow them and they would have a renewed spirit within them for being with you here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in us, that you might do a work through us because of it. And Lord, that you would work through us in this community to draw people unto yourself. Lord, we pray for those in recovery, that they would just draw close to you, and Lord, that they would listen to your voice and follow you as you help them in their recovery. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with health concerns and that you would touch and heal them. Lord, we pray for those that are in circumstances beyond their control, that you would shine a light in the darkness where they fight against evil, and they fight against the things of this world. And Lord, when every door closes, we pray that you might open a window that they may be able to move through that and follow you. Lord, we love you and we need you every moment of every day. Have your will and your way during this invitation time. We'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be singing Paige.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we ask that you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe that you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church, and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to contact our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.